The Lord be with you. Thank you. When I shared with my board of elders that I would be speaking at chapel here today, one of my elders asked me the question. He said, "So what text will you be using?" And I said, "The stoning of Stephen." And he said, "A reenactment. How interesting." It is my hope that this morning after the Jambalaya Fest yesterday, that you will be clear and attentive and rejoicing around the gift of God's word here today. And that because it was a late night and a lot of celebration, I am going to make my sermon outline really, really easy for you to hang on to. Church people can act ugly. And the other is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, church people can act goodly. Or well. Church people, wow, when we put church people together, some amazing things can happen. I have, because I serve as a pastor in Denver, Colorado, and I also help churches get back on track with their mission and their purpose, I have sat in some amazing meetings. Once I had this opportunity to meet with a congregation that was very inward focused and struggling and a lot of inward fighting, and the meeting started off with the chairman of the board yelling at another person because the urinal next to the sanctuary hadn't been repaired and people were getting mad. This conversation went on several moments until one of the person, the property board manager, slaps his hands down on the table, whack, and he uses the F word. Which is not forgiveness, which is not friend. And he uses the F word, and the committee goes, and there's this little fighting that goes on, and the chairman goes, "Fine. We have a special presenter today, Dr. Eckelkamp, and he's gonna tell us how to love Jesus." Dr. Eckelkamp. Okay then. Church people can act ugly. The story of Stephen is a voters' assembly run amok. The story of Stephen is about God's people who had gathered around God's word and lost their focus and lost their understanding and instead had this love to be able to attack and to hurt and to kill, just like the devil loves to rob and steal and destroy. That when we get off focus and off basis, we do amazing things. Sometimes we act ugly. I'm not going to ask you to tell the story, but can you think of a time in our church body that we've ever behaved poorly? Can I just see a show of hands? Okay. Some of you are so opposed to raising your hands, you will not even do that. Okay, I get that. So, we can act ugly. I have acted ugly. I asked Virginia if I could tell this story, and she said, "I wouldn't know if you did, because I'm not there." And I said, "I want to honor you, Virginia." It had been a long week. A lot had gone on. And Virginia is one of those folks in our congregation who loves the history of our church, 127 years of history. She loves our community, but she doesn't always explain it in the nicest way. And she would say that. When something bothers her, she'll often just say it without thinking about how she says it. And so Virgin made this comment at our congregational meeting, and it hurt my feelings. She said, "I don't think the leadership of our church really cares about the seniors. I remember seeing red, and I stood up, and I said, Virgin, you stop that right now. That is not allowed. You will not talk that way. That is undermining. You did not bring that up with the elders to get it on the agenda for this meeting. You did not talk to me about that beforehand. It is inappropriate for you to throw the leadership under the bus. That is not allowed here." And I sat down. I told Virgin. And then Virgin came up to me after the meeting and she said, "Pastor, I am crushed. I love you so much. I did not mean to hurt you and I am sorry." And I cried. I said, "Virgin, I am so, so sorry." She says, "Pastor, I love you and I forgive you." And that Sunday, before the congregation, I said, I sinned. You see, I barfed on Virgin. Barf, bitter, angry, resentful, frustrated. I failed to halt. I entered into that meeting and that space. I was hungry, I was angry, I was lonely, I was tired. And I acted full of Michael and the capability of my being culpable, and I behaved badly. And so I sinned publicly, and I apologized publicly. And the congregation extended me great grace that day. We, as church people, we really have a tendency to act badly. But when we are full of the Spirit, and I believe that when that word is used, this description of a pitcher pouring into a glass of water so that it's overflowing, that full of the righteousness of who God has made us to be, feasting on who He is, focusing and allowing God's grace to permeate who we are, so that physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, familially, that when the grace of God is placed into our ears and our heart and our lives by one another and through the meal and so forth, that when we get away from halt and we get away from barf and we rejoice that we are God's beloved children, that we can behave goodly. We can behave well. We can, with the fullness of what God does in and through us. We get away from halt, we get away from barf, and we rejoice as God's people. I grew up in Bridgeton, Missouri. A third of it has disappeared because of the airport expansion. Gives a whole new meaning to a runaway economy. But not a single laugh. I had a neighbor by the name of Gloria, and Gloria was kind of the consummate, evil, awful neighbor. If a ball went into her yard, you did not get the ball back. If you crossed the corner of which her property was, she would come out and scream from her porch about how terrible kids are today and so forth. Gloria was no pleasure at all. I left St. Louis when I was 16 years old. I had just become a Christian. I didn't even know St. Louis Seminary was here, even though one day I would come here for my MDiv and STM. I came back to visit the old place, just like I did yesterday, 11695 Brookford Lane. The last time I had done that, Gloria was out on her porch, as Gloria always was. And she goes, Michael? And I'm like, here it comes. She's going to pick up where she left off. And she goes, Michael. And she gets up off the porch and she comes down the driveway and she hugs me. She says, Michael, it is so good to see you. What a delight. How are Roger and how are Phyllis and how are the kids? And she was like, who is this person? And then she said, I need to tell you something. I was a terrible neighbor. I was a rotten person. I've made a new friend that I'd like to tell you about, and his name is Jesus. I'm sorry for behaving so badly. Would you forgive me? And I said, I absolutely forgive you. The power of the Holy Spirit transforms hearts and lives. We should not be surprised when people behave badly. And we can all account to ways that we have behaved badly. But when we turn back to the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, we can rejoice. I finish with this two simple thoughts. The first one is this. In the time of conflict, Stephen stuck to the history, and he told people what God had done. He didn't put the focus on him and what he could do or whatever. He just took people back to the Word. What a great strategy. Second of all, instead of doing this, he did this. He looked up to Jesus. There's a a little laminated card in my office, sticking on one of the bricks in my office, and it has the number 1 on it. And I have that there to remind me that at the end of my journey, my ministry will not be evaluated by how well you or others think of me, but it will be this. I just want the applause of Jesus. I want at the end of my ministry to go, Jesus saying, well done. And to live every day in the grace he's given to me, and to love him, and to love my neighbor, and yes, even to love me. I was talking to a missionary, and they pointed out something in this text I had never noticed before. Stephen saw Jesus standing next to the throne. It's the only time, they said, that after the resurrection and Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, that we ever see Jesus standing. That when the martyrs of the faith, those who have had the crowds rush at them, those who have experienced either the church or the world attack them and harm them and kill them, that Jesus stands up for them. And he welcomes them. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, in the name of our Savior Jesus and the power of your Holy Spirit, who gives all the gifts and all the fruit necessary, we thank you that you are a God who does not turn your back upon us when we act poorly, when our behavior as church people is to rise up and to kill and to destroy, or to malign or to hurt, when we go to that sinful nature that wants to rob of life rather than to give life. And now for just a moment, in a time of confession, quietly before you, where we have chosen to hurt or to maim the name, the person, the reputation of someone around us, we make confession before you. It is my absolute delight to tell you that the one to whom Stephen looked, Jesus Christ our Lord, has fully and completely forgiven you and has set you free now to be a person who is known to give life rather than death. You are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.